Welcome to The Best Worst Story You've Never Read. I'm your host, Cameron Lindsay. And each week, I hope you'll join me to hear a story that sucks. A tale that is so terrible, an adventure so awful, that it's great. This week, I will be reading the last chapter of our ongoing story. As always, the author's original intent has been maintained as much as possible. So without further ado, here is the exciting conclusion to Wandering Wanderers, A Mystery, by Z.F. Windler, 11. Ambrose stood outside the window of the sheriff's office. Eisenhower was sitting alone in the dark, drinking a whiskey. The gun Ambrose held was cold and caused his arm to shiver. He cocked the gun and aimed it at Eisenhower's head. Fox Boulder picked up his bureau-issued pistol and checked to make sure the clip was full. It was. Several of the foxes were panting from anxiety. Ambrose was a good shot. So was Boulder. One of the foxes would either suffer an injury or die in the skirmish, but Ambrose would definitely go down. Boulder took the safety off. Eisenhower finished his whiskey. He tinkered the ice around in the glass a bit as he contemplated everything Ambrose had done in the past decades. He threw the ice back in his mouth and started to chew on it. He took the rifle out of the cabinet behind him. It was loaded, and he had cleaned it only yesterday. If Fox Boulder couldn't finish the job, Eisenhower would. He closed the cabinet door and noticed a glint in the reflection of its glass. The bullet did not hit Eisenhower. Why is still unknown. Ambrose was a perfect marksman, and Eisenhower had not moved other than turning around and staring straight down Ambrose's gun. Maybe it was the cold of the night. Maybe it was nerves. Maybe it was the tear in Ambrose's eye when he pulled the trigger. Who knows? The now shattered window let in a gust of cold air into the sheriff's office. Ambrose kept his gun pointed at Eisenhower. Eisenhower, realizing Ambrose had missed, now had his rifle even with Ambrose's head. Another glass shattered as Fox Boulder leaped through the other window with his gun drawn, pointed at Ambrose. The sound prompted Ambrose to draw another gun and pointed at Boulder. No man or fox shot. Several minutes passed. Each figure issued a fog from their mouths in the cool air. It's interesting what can happen when so many hearts are pounding so rapidly in such close proximity to one another. Ambrose was the first to lower his guns, followed by Eisenhower and then Boulder. Boulder began to approach Ambrose, and the foxes broke the rank of their pyramid. Eisenhower also started his approach and dropped his rifle as he stepped over the broken glass into the snow. Ambrose, standing in the light of the moon, dropped his guns and removed his coat. The foxes shook off their hat and trench coat. Eisenhower kicked off his shoes and slowly unbuttoned his shirt. By the time all three individuals met in the snow, they were standing bare to each other. Ambrose reached his hand out to take Eisenhower's. The foxes circled the two men and started nibbling at their heels in a playful way. Another fox crawled into Eisenhower's open arm, and the fox, Eisenhower, and Ambrose came together in a passionate kiss. The foxes at the men's heels had now started scratching at their backs as the three, now in tight, naked embrace, lied down in the glistening snow. What a scene this affair was. There is nothing more innocent and pure in the world than a season's first unbroken snow. There was nothing more evil than Ambrose and Eisenhower. There was nothing more confused, more bipolar than the foxes of Fox Boulder. And yet, in the chill of that winter night, no greater passion has ever existed. That was the conclusion to Wandering Wanderers, A Mystery, by Z.F. Windler, 11. And now time for the part of the show where we bring on a special guest to talk about the story that we just heard. Today we have Dustin Jones, a former producer of the show.
Oh, hey.
Dustin,
hey,
yeah, welcome. Welcome back. And, oh, I should also say we're in the studio in Lexington, Kentucky.
Yeah.
At the end of my holiday break, so Dustin has welcomed us back. Dustin's also back from his trip, his research. How was that?
It was good. Dinosaurs are really cool.
Yeah.
They're fun. Well, that's scary, but fun.
Oh. What would you say is the most scary thing about dinosaurs?
They're just a little bit unpredictable, you know, if you haven't been around them before.
Which most people haven't.
I would assume 99% have not.
But they're the top 1%
of people. The top elite, yeah, definitely.
Have been around dinosaurs?
Yeah, it's a well-kept secret.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Let it out of the bag.
Yeah, well, not many people listen to this podcast, so like...
touche.
I would say like 99% of that 99% of people are never going to listen to the podcast. And then like another several percent, like thousands of percent, are also not listening.
Well, you should just believe in yourself more, you know?
I believe in myself a lot, actually.
I guess that's why you're still doing the podcast.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Well, I also believe in the heart of the cards a lot, so.
Heart of the cards.
The heart of the cards, yeah. Well, that's how I always draw the Blue Eyes White Dragon when I need it. So.
Now, have you been keeping up with Yu-Gi-Oh? Actually, it's been having like a second comeback, maybe third comeback. That's what I've heard. I've heard it's better than ever now.
No, I haven't. I have not kept up with Yu-Gi-Oh, and I'm not going to.
Just Pokemon?
No, I haven't kept up with that either. I am just now playing Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire.
Wow, that's pretty sinful on your part.
I know. I am at the 7th gym. Sixth gym.
Are you going to buy Pokken Tournament?
Yeah, totally. I am. I should say that I have been searching for my red version, my Pokemon Red version, so that I could finally complete the second round of Pokemon Stadium, which I didn't know if you knew, but once you beat the Elite Four and you beat Mewtwo, you do it again.
Yeah, you do.
And it's significantly harder.
Yeah, it's like it's more of like an adult game.
Yeah, it's practically impossible to beat with rental Pokemon. And so I've been finding one of my... I used to have three red versions, and I can't find any of them.
You used to have three?
Yeah, I did. I also didn't have friends, so...
Didn't. Maybe still don't. I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's a good question.
If you're listening and you have an opinion on whether or not I have friends, send us a message. Let us know if you want to be my friend, and we'll consider your application. Very competitive. Just going to let you know, there is a $50 application fee, and I'm probably going to veto it. So
the $50 it goes to a charity for Cameron, actually.
Yeah, it's to help me get more friends.
And more red versions of Pokemon.
That's also true. They're expensive.
They are, especially ones with working batteries.
Yeah. Well, the batteries, the ones that you're really concerned about, is gold and silver, because they have the clock in them. I found my gold version, but the battery's dead. So.
That's true. We should probably move away from Pokemon for all those people that don't really give a hell about it.
That's true. Let's move on to the story. This is, I wanted to save the... So last episode was a special holiday episode with my sister. And we did not do the last chapter of Wandering Wanderer's Mystery because of the holidays. And also because I wanted you to be the guest on to talk about it.
Oh, I really appreciate that.
I'm going to go ahead and say I love this story.
Yeah, I
absolutely love it.
It's pretty excellent so far. Usually most things on here were terrible.
Yeah.
Awful. I'm a little mad that you decided to get the good stuff.
Well, it's
whenever I'm gone. But I appreciate you bringing me back for the last part.
I mean, it's still pretty terrible. I mean, it's great and it's terrible.
It's terribly excellent, though.
Yeah, exactly. What would you say is the most terrible part of the story? I guess this chapter specifically.
I think the best and worst part to me are the foxes.
Yeah, Fox Boulder.
Just because it's been really wrecking my brain on how exactly that last love scene went down with that many foxes. Was it 13, 14 foxes?
There are 13 foxes. 12 of them are nibbling at the heels and then scratching the backs. And then there is one that is being cradled. Presumably the one that was narrating in the last chapter.
That's right. So does that have like a hive mind type of deal? Or how does that work?
You know, it's kind of confusing. I've asked some questions of ZF Wendler 11, the author, and he's not very responsive. He prefers to keep it fairly mysterious. I'm being fairly presumptuous about that too. Honestly, ZF Wendler 11 has used a variety of pronouns with me when referring to themselves.
Like what?
Well, they've used the two, he and she, and then it, and then there's some that's more contemporary that is supposed to be more cognizant of, I guess, gender binaries and kind of what's fraught in that.
It's a pretty popular topic.
But then also different languages that I don't speak, some Slavic languages.
Oh, whoa. So this could be like a really big statement here that we're just not aware of.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's possible. ZF Windler 11, I think... I've never met them. It's possible ZF Windler 11 is also a group of animals.
Yeah, I mean, that is quite possible. You'd be surprised, especially after working on all those freaking dinosaurs, man, how many animals group up and do weird things like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, some make porridge together. I'm sure you've heard of the bears.
Yeah, sure.
Certain dinosaurs love to have ping pong parties. It's absolutely insane. Velociraptors, man.
As in like one singular ping pong tournament or like just everyone going at ping
like
pong?
Like six tables of ping pong.
How do
players.
They grip the paddles? Do they have...
They just have special paddles that hook onto their claws.
Well, do they do it like with the professional, like where you hold the circular part downwards? Or are they just like... Oh, they do?
They try to hook it that way so you can kind of swing it in between the two styles if you want.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's pretty fancy. It's way cooler than humans playing, that's for sure.
We have a couple dedicated fans. I would like to ask one of you all, maybe draw up a diagram of what you think this looks like, because I think this sounds really fascinating, and I would really like to see an artist's interpretation of this.
Definitely.
And send it to us. I'd love to see that. And I think it could also really contribute to science.
I mean, like I said, the 1%, they're the only ones, so yeah, it would be great.
Yeah.
When you get the word out.
Sure, for sure. Well, you know, generally we talk about some interesting stuff about the guest. And I don't want to say that you're not interesting.
Yeah.
But I didn't introduce you in any other way than the way that everyone else already knows.
That's true. I forget about that.
Is there something interesting you want to share about yourself?
Other
than dinosaurs and
I can't swim. That's pretty interesting.
Huh.
It's kind of lame.
Like by nature or like
lack
constitution?
Of skill. Lack of skill.
Hmm.
I am, what, 6'3" and almost drowned in a 3.5-foot pool one time in high school. That's pretty terrible.
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. It's all right.
I read somewhere, and I'm not sure that this is true, but I read somewhere that the majority of people that drown in less than 7 inches of water.
Less than 7 inches?
Less than 7 inches
of
water.
How does that even work? Is that like a Little John situation from Robin Hood?
When they're...
Men in tights.
Oh. Yes.
Yeah, I know what I'm talking about, do you?
I don't. I was
Aren't
saying...
Aren't you in film school? Come on.
So back to the story. I think that we need to give some thought and discussion to the character of Agent Ambrose.
Yeah.
Just because he was obviously in all of the chapters, and I really feel like he is a force to be reckoned with and such a really complex character.
He killed 25 women, or was it women and men? And
Just women. Yeah. I mean, he's, I guess, one of the most successful fictional serial killers.
Yeah, right.
On this podcast.
Pretty impressive.
He is, I guess, an acclaimed FBI agent as well, a government employee.
Yeah.
And also, it seems just a very loving and emotional human being, despite this rough exterior.
Yeah, it's true. He shows a lot of care for others, especially, like I said, with that orgy scene at the end.
Yeah, right. Well, and Wendy and his mother as well. I mean, both of them. I don't want to say that we should all strive to be like Ambrose, because we shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But perhaps we should all strive in our lives to find what it is that Ambrose thought he was missing.
Like, so that thing that made him kill 25 women, right? Like, you should find that about yourself? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you should find that and then lock it away, I think.
But what if that's his burning passion and his
that's
drive
what makes
for life?
You think that's what makes him this emotional force to be reckoned with?
Well, I think that has some correlation with his love interest, Wendy, that's for sure.
Oh, you think... Oh! Well, that is certainly a backstory that has not been investigated.
I know.
And I should say, perhaps something that could be investigated in the game that we're about to
play. Oh, that's true. It's true.
So you're, of course, you're familiar with the game.
Yes, yes. Is it the same? I'm sure.
It is the same. We're going to give you 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to write a sequel, which no one else has done. No one else who's been commentating, special guesting about the different chapters has been able to write a sequel. So you have the distinct privilege.
What have they been writing? I forget.
There was a prequel. There were some investigations of other characters.
Mm. Some origin stories.
There was a critical review.
Mm.
And now you will have the distinct honor of writing a sequel.
I think I know
Wandering Wanderers, a mystery.
Pretty excited.
Well, I'm excited as well. So why don't we go ahead and get to it? Well, let's take our 5 minutes now.
I just try to hold my tongue anyway. So feel it out. Think that she might stick around. If you really had a doubt, you won't say.
Back.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, so did the story go well? The writing went well?
Yeah, it was interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah, I went to a weird place.
You went to a weird place to write it? I thought you were just sitting in that chair the whole time.
No, mentally, Cameron, mentally.
Oh. What? Well, I guess we'll find out what kind of place you went to when we get the story. Well, are you ready to read it then?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so this is the sequel.
The sequel.
To Wandering Wanderers, a Mystery by ZF Wendler 11.
As one of Fox Boulder's many foxes nibbles on Ambrose's ear, a loud crackling of wood twigs occurs. Ambrose looks over to try and identify the source of the sound, but sees nothing. He then hears a voice call out, a lustful voice full of both disgust and hunger. It was Wendy's. She spoke of her dissatisfaction of the foxes nibbling on his ear and Eisenhower's lips on his neck. But Ambrose saw it in Wendy's eyes. He saw the 25 women he killed in them, and he finally knew what he was looking for, to lay with his love Wendy while foxes rub over their naked bodies. He wanted to share his passion with her and the natural world around him. Eisenhower was just a special bonus to them both. All this was told to Wendy by the eyes of Ambrose. Yes, she said. Yes. And that's it.
Wow. I think this would probably be the best time now available to us to say that this episode is probably not appropriate for small children.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's nothing explicit there.
No, and
just
it
foxes
is
foxes over their naked bodies.
And it is important to learn about the wilderness with the defunding of schools, some of the political issues with Boy Scouts.
Yeah,
I mean, children really just aren't exposed to the natural world anymore. So maybe this will give them some insight. You know, I'm gonna take that back. This is a good time to say, rewind the episode and share it with the children that
Of the children,
all of them.
But did you enjoy the story though, Cameron?
I did. So ZF Wendler 11 kind of let me down in some ways with the last chapter because, I don't want to say that I expected it to become an orgy between two men and 13 foxes.
Yeah.
But I had a predilection. And I felt that when I actually read it, it didn't satisfy kind of like the thoughts and dreams, kind of just daytime fantasies that I was experiencing before I received this chapter. So when getting yours, hearing the sequel, I think that it really adds a lot, comes closer to my fantasies. But I mean, we all know that, reality is not going to live up to our dreams.
Yeah, it comes much closer.
Yeah, this one does come much closer, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, most people know I like the details, you know, so. Everyone knows Dustin likes the details.
Dustin likes the details. Hashtag Dustin likes the details.
Hashtag Dustin likes the details.
Yeah, and I liked the details too. Hashtag I also liked the details.
Hashtag Jonesy tales. Don't use that.
Don't use that.
Don't use that.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I really don't. I feel like it's, I'm happy to put the story to rest now.
It has been going on for a while. Wait, six? The sixth
chapter?
Yeah,
this is chapter six. Yeah.
6.5, I guess, right here.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and with all of the other additions from the other guests, too, I mean, it's this.
We're up to 8 or 9.
Quite the tome, really.
Quite the tome. An epic, they would say.
Yeah, some people will. I think they might be wrong in calling it that.
I think they might be wrong.
Epic is, there's a specific usage of the word epic, and it's kind of been co-opted for lots of other things. And either way, I digress. What about another game?
What's that?
Well, you saw the big wheel of games that I brought in here.
Yeah. It's pretty big.
Yeah, well, it's only gotten bigger since I had it here before.
Yeah,
actually.
It looks like some things have been added to it.
They have.
A couple layers.
Yeah, well, you'll also notice that there are some games that I've marked through on the wheel and rewritten the name.
What's that one on the bottom right? What is that name? Yeah, I can't tell. It looks like...
It was a game that I was thinking about having. It was called. It does say "Touch Me, Cameron, Touch Me."
Must have been a slow month that month.
I went away from that one. The wheel is weighted so that it will not land on that. But you'll also see that I have added some different functions, some ways to spin the wheel.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So you can spin it with your hand like normal.
Cool.
Obviously.
What's the other ways?
Well, so right over there, you see that. It's one of those rolls of, like, fly paper, you know?
Like the really sticky stuff?
Yeah, exactly.
Wax paper kind?
Well, you can't tell because it's not unrolled. It kind of looks like a firecracker right now.
Oh, yeah.
Next to that is an actual firecracker.
Whoa.
If you light the firecracker, it'll get stuck in the fly paper, right?
What?
And then the fly paper is actually attached by a fishing line, which will pull the wheel and make it start spinning.
That's cool.
I'm not 100% sure that's a good idea in the studio.
No, we can do that. We like fire.
Well, because of flames.
No, we like fire.
Well, let me tell you the other ideas, the other
okay,
ways of spinning.
Okay, fine.
So there's also over there.
Yeah.
There's that small fish tank that I brought in, right? All of the fish in it, you probably noticed, are dead.
What type of fish were they? Like,
one is a goldfish, one is an angelfish, one is a lionfish, poisonous.
Yeah, I was just saying, how did you get the lionfish?
Well, I'm also poisonous, so when I touched it, it died.
Cool.
I put all of them in there with my hands.
Yeah.
How most of them died.
Because you're poisonous.
Yes. I was handling them a little roughly, honestly, when I put them in there as well.
Do fish just make you nervous?
Fish do make me nervous.
It's odd.
Why?
I mean, why would they?
Well, first off, whenever I touch them, they die.
I mean, that should make them nervous, not you.
Oh, if whenever you touched something, it died, would you not be nervous around it?
No, I would just have to keep a level head and have self-control.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
That's what it's all about.
Okay, so you would have to keep
be
a level
responsible,
head because if you didn't keep a level head, you would be
nervous.
Right, exactly.
What would you make you touch things?
I don't touch things when I'm nervous.
I've seen you touch some weird things when you're nervous, Cameron.
Okay, I have touched things after being nervous, but when I am nervous, I am not driven to touch things, especially not fish.
All right,
fish.
Fine. However you want to say it.
Anyway, so within the tank, if you can avoid the dead fish, so it's kind of like the game Operation where you have to pick the things out.
Yeah, it's scary, man.
So as long as you don't touch any of the dead fish, and there are, I think, if I remember the number, there are 34 of them in there. If you avoid all of them, then at the bottom is a tiny key, and it opens up that door that's next to the wheel, which has a lever which allows you to spin the wheel.
Wow. Has anyone been successful with that?
Well, this is the first time that we've used this one.
Oh, well, I guess I gotta do it.
Oh, okay. So just try and dip your hand in there.
Okay. Oh, whoa. Oh, man. It's pretty... Oh, that already hit one, man.
Yeah, I mean, I made the noise because I saw you hit it.
Oh, okay. That was
with my
mouth. The lionfish, right?
No, that's not the lionfish.
Oh, God. Thank you, God.
That's actually a turtle.
What? I thought you said there was only 3 fish in here.
No. There are 34 fish in there.
Oh.
Some of them are very small.
I thought you were just talking about that game.
No. 31 of them are the tiny little sea monkeys.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then there's the goldfish,
yeah.
The angelfish, the lionfish,
yeah.
And there is a turtle. It was in there when I got the tank.
He tried to get me.
He might have looked that way, but he's also dead. He was in there when I bought the tank.
Oh, man.
I filled it with water.
That's pretty gross.
And he drowned.
Why did you not just take him out?
What was I going to do with the turtle?
Hang out? Watch some movies? Eat some popcorn with your turtle?
I guess I should.
Turtle named Ted. See, pretty easy, man.
His name is not Ted.
Could have been. Okay, you don't know what his name is because you made him die.
I didn't make him die.
You said you filled it up with water.
Turtles can swim. I figured he would swim to the top and get out
you
on his
know
own
his
accord.
Personality? Did you conversate with him first? No.
No, I conversated with the owner of the tank, which I assume was the owner of the turtle.
You don't know that. Could have been a stray turtle.
It could have been a stray turtle. I will.
Irresponsibility, concur. Cameron, Lindsay.
Okay, well, speaking of irresponsibility, let's see if you're responsible enough to not hit a fish.
All right, one more try. Not the lionfish.
Yeah. It's.
Oh, man, it's really cold. Oh.
It's gotten colder?
Almost there.
No, that's not actually the key. It's a little bit more to your right. That was a little piece of poop.
Oh, man, is that a monkey poop?
It is a monkey poop.
Fine. I guess I'll just spin it with my hand.
Okay, that's fine. Well, wipe your hand off first. That's.
No.
Okay. I mean, that water is just filled with dead fish and turtle and poop.
Yeah.
Well, just spin it with your hand.
Okay.
All right.
There it goes.
It's spinning.
I'm
eager to see what it lands on.
It's slowing down. Where's it going to land, Cameron?
Well, it's stopping now. But it's landed on Story Songs.
Story Songs.
This used to have another name. I didn't like it, so I called it Story Songs.
What was the other name?
I'm not going to tell you.
Cool.
You can listen to the other episodes if you really want to find out.
Yeah, I should
probably do that. And basically the way this game works is based off of the story that we heard, we're going to together make a song.
Oh, cool. Great. Music's fun.
One of us is going to lay down a beat.
Okay. I call the beat.
I've forgotten how this game works.
Okay.
We're going to just make a song.
Okay.
We're just going to think about it for a little bit.
All right.
And then we're going to sing. It's only going to be four lines.
Together?
No. Each of us is going to take our turns.
Okay.
We're going to sing four lines, and then in post, I will put in a song.
Oh, so you put like a little beat under it.
Yeah, it probably won't fit.
Yeah, I would assume not.
I'm literally going to pick the first thing I find.
Okay, good, cool.
Creative Commons license,
I mean,
granted.
Yeah, it's just like freeform, you know? It's cool.
Yeah. Do you need to take any time to think about it?
No, man.
You're ready to go?
I'll just bounce off you.
Well, you have to go first.
Oh.
I can go first. That's fine.
Yeah, you should go first.
Okay. Well, let me think for just a second. Okay, I'm ready. Ambrose was a man who brought his gun.
Killed 25 women and sort of thought about a son.
Eisenhower loved him like his own.
But then he
flamped
a lot of foxes and had Eisenhower's bone.
I think we're getting characters confused. That was Eisenhower before.
Oh, lamp. I messed that up. We could re-record.
No, let's keep going. This is working well for me.
Okay, well, I just hope Wendy ended up with some glee.
Well, that was nice.
I guess it worked.
Yeah.
How did they mix it up? I thought Eisenhower was up in there.
Well, I unless I'm misremembering, I started my second line saying that Eisenhower, I was talking about Eisenhower as the subject of the sentence, and then you were saying that Ambrose had Eisenhower's bone, but we were still talking about Eisenhower.
Oh, you're too.
We just confuse our subjects.
It
should have
been Ambrose's bone or but, Fox Mulder's bone.
I mean, I might be getting it wrong. Maybe we did it right. Who knows? I think the mistake.
Oh, I mean, I really want to throw in the son thing just to like show that he is a family man deep down.
He's thinking about a son?
Yeah. I mean, why else would he want to be with Wendy?
I was going to say he does not have a son.
Yeah, I said he was thinking about his son.
Okay. I mean, him having a son could be allowed, but, or him thinking about a son could be allowed, but having a son is non-canonical. That would be against the canon.
Yeah. Exactly. That's why I threw that in there.
Well, it was nice. In fact, I would say all of this has been nice.
Dustin, you too, man.
Thanks for being on the show.
You're a nice person, you know? Contrary to what they say.
Lots of people. Did you read that article?
Man, yeah, that was pretty freaking
rough.
I
did not come out good in that.
No, they said you were a blobbering hairy toad. And I was like, that is messed up.
I mean, you're paraphrasing slightly.
No.
It said it was a horny toad specifically.
Oh.
I do have the entire article memorized.
Well, I mean, you do have a high libido, so.
Well, that's not up for debate, I would say.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely not.
But something else is up right now.
Oh.
If you would like to hear your story read, send us a message on Facebook. Special thanks to ZFWindler11 for use of their story on this week's show. Special thanks to our special thanks, Dustin Jones, who also composed our theme song. Brian Dickman produces the show. I'm your host, Cameron Lindsay, and this has been The Best Worst Story You've Never Read. Keep the stories coming.